I just want to read Psalm 131 now, just quite simply because it's a psalm and it's just good to read psalms every so often. My heart is not proud, O Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quietened my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Amen. Good morning. It's nice to meet you. I know we haven't met before, but my name is... Well, actually, now that I think about it, my name doesn't matter. It really isn't important. What is important is that I tell you about something that happened a short while ago. It happened a while ago to me. You see, I know I look normal now, whatever normal is. As I stand here all dressed up in my smart polished shoes and suit, shirt and tie, nicely suited and booted, walking around, running even. But I was very different a while ago. In fact, you might say, I am a changed man. So come on, pull up, get yourself a coffee or a cup of tea and hear my story. Let's get back to what I was wanting to tell you about. Because when I think about what happened recently, and I think of it a lot, you know, maybe it wasn't all about me. If I seem a little distracted at times and going off at a tangent, and I know that that is what I do, if I'm confusing, you see, it is just that what happened, well, it will blow your mind. It certainly blows my mind. I still can't quite get my head around it all. You know that little place, Capernaum? It's that lovely little spot down by the Sea of Galilee, up at the top end of the Sea of Galilee, just on the west side. You see, that's where this incident took place. Yes, let's call it that, an incident. It took place a while ago. I don't know how much you are up on what's going on around here, whether you watch the news, keep up with the gossip on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. But you might have heard about this guy called Jesus. Actually, a lot of people know him as Jesus of Nazareth. He's from that village. It's about 30 odd miles away, up over those hills to the west of Galilee. This guy, Jesus, has sort of become a bit of a rising star in the area. Who knows, he might even become a bit of a celebrity. You know, there are lots of stories going around of him healing people. Can you believe that? A few days before this incident took place in Capernaum, he was in the synagogue here. And he was able to heal one of the guys who had real bad problems with evil spirits. Do you know what he did? He actually told the evil spirit to leave the man. Can you believe that? And at that, the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out from him with a shriek. Everyone is talking about Jesus. It's incredible. He has built up this whole following, young and old. It doesn't matter what age you are. And not just here in Capernaum, but right across the whole area. People are coming in their droves to hear him teach in the synagogue and to experience and see these healing powers. So anyway, a few days after all the commotion about Jesus, I heard that he was back in Capernaum, in a house not far from here. It's just a normal house. And well, a few people thought they would go and see, hear him for themselves. So I went with four friends. But when we got there, well, there were a few other people had obviously had the same thought. The place was packed. They were squeezed in like sardines. There wasn't an inch to spare. You could hardly breathe because there were so many in that place, and you know what it is like in a hot, dry day up in Galilee. Hardly a breath of fresh air, and everyone is all packed in closely, all desperate to hear this teacher man, this rabbi, Jesus talk. Oh, I suppose I'd better explain when I say that I went with the four guys. It wasn't really because they were my best mates. Actually, I went with these four because I had to. I had no choice. I could not go on my own. I know you will find this a bit strange, but you see, I couldn't walk. I was paralyzed. I still find it hard to take it all in. It is strange saying I was paralyzed. Now, I know you're looking at me now and thinking, what is he talking about? He looks all right. But before I met Jesus, I was paralyzed and I couldn't walk. So when I wanted to see Jesus, I needed the four guys to carry me there. Think of my excitement. When we were going to hear Jesus, I was going to get up close and see this man. And who knows, I kept thinking, if I could get close, if I could get close enough, well, it might be like the guy who had leprosy. And when he got close to Jesus, he was made clean. Or the many others who had been healed in recent days. So the four guys carry me. But boy, oh boy, was it busy. They really were thronging the place. Inside, outside, packed, solid. But that wasn't going to stop the four guys. You see, they were determined to get me to Jesus. And so they took me up the stairs. You know, the ones on the outside of the house. And up onto the flat roof. And next thing, they put me down. And they get down on their hands and knees and they start grabbing away at the mud that makes the roof. Then they pull away at the straw. More mud. And they're making a right mess and a racket. And then first, there is a small hole in the roof. And then quickly, the mud and the straw start falling into the middle of the room below. Can you imagine? Everyone below, first looking with surprise at what is happening, and then starting to shout and give off, "What's going on up there? Who do you think you are? What are you doing? Are you having a laugh, ripping the roof off this house?" But that doesn't stop the four guys. Next thing I know, they have lifted me back up again. And they're lowering me on my crabbit horse. It's the only mat that I can afford in my poverty. Just imagine the looks on people's faces. As first that roof has been ripped away. Dirt and dust is falling into their eyes as they look up. And then these four crazy guys start lowering me down through this hole in the roof into the middle of the packed, crowded house. And then, do you know, something really strange happened. As if ripping a roof off a house is normal, or saying a bloke being lowered on a mat through a hole in a roof is normal. Well, this is odd, I am telling you. You see, I know you're now looking at me thinking, Oh, Jesus must have said something about healing my weak, paralyzed, useless body. But he didn't. He said something really strange. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What was that all about? I thought if I got close enough, Jesus would have said something like, "Stand up and walk," or "Go on, up you get." But no, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I was there to be healed. I wasn't there for my sin. You know, I don't think I will ever forget hearing those words being uttered by Jesus. If Jesus had just said, "Stand up and walk," then that is where this story would probably end. But he didn't. He had just said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, don't think I don't know what you are thinking. I've been over this a million times in my head these last few weeks. Sin? Forgiveness? Why is Jesus talking like this? Even I know this is blasphemy. Blasphemy is a capital crime. Where is this going to end? What will become of Jesus? You know, as Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven," I think you could have heard a pin drop. There was silence. Because sitting over there, just a few feet away, were some of the Pharisees. You know the guys, the ones with all the rules, always trying to catch people out with their little rule book. But there was no missing this. Jesus had just said those words, "Your sins are forgiven." At this point, I think you could sense the tension in the air. It was palpable. Who would say anything like that in front of those Pharisees? And so slowly, every eye in that place turned. Some from looking at me, the guy who has just been lowered through the roof. Others from looking up into the roof at the four guys who brought me. In faith, simply believing that meeting Jesus could change my life. And so every eye turned to see what was going on between Jesus and the Pharisees. It was nearly as if there was no one else there. It was just between the Pharisees and Jesus. Who would say anything like this in front of those Pharisees? And then, well, it was as if Jesus could read the minds of the Pharisees. Because they hadn't said a word among themselves. All that had passed between them was that steely look and stare. You know, you would have thought that Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking, what was going on in their heads. But hey, that's not possible, is it? Unless... Anyway, next thing, Jesus says to them, "Why are you debating in your hearts this matter?" You really would think Jesus knew, without a single word being uttered, what the Pharisees were thinking. He didn't even need to seem to figure out what they were thinking. There was so much tension in the place, it was surreal. You know, sometimes someone says something and you have to keep thinking it over to sort it out in your head, to understand it. Well, this was one of those occasions. Jesus throws through this two-pronged question at the Pharisees. He said, "Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk'?" You know, even though Jesus had mentioned me here, But it was obvious it really wasn't me that he was speaking to. There was something extraordinary going on between Jesus and the Pharisees. I felt like I was just watching from the sidelines. But you know, once I got that question sorted in my head, your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk, it was clear. I understood. This was one of those, what is easier to say, not what is easier to do. Because of course, the answer is, it is easier to heal the body. Because who can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. No human can do that. You know, you think Jesus could have left it at this point, but he continued. You know, when I think back, I don't know, but maybe there was a bit of patronizing going on. And then Jesus, well, he just said it. This is what he said. I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Whoa. Hold on a second. Has Jesus just said what I think he said? Has Jesus really just said, I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? As everyone was trying to make sure that they had heard Jesus correctly, then he turned back to me. By this stage, I had nearly been forgotten. The whole thing was between Jesus and the Pharisees. But he turned to me and without any fuss said, get up, take your mat, and go home. You know, I don't think I had ever thought of this happening. Of course, you always wonder what it would be like to not be paralyzed. But you don't really imagine life will ever be any different from what it was. Because how could it be? Miracles like this don't just happen. You don't imagine what you will do when you are paralyzed, not able to walk, always relying on other people to carry you around, and then someone tells you. Actually, no. Not just someone, but this Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus had just told me, get up, take your mat, and go home. But he had also told me, son, your sins are forgiven. You know, it's all a bit of a blur now. I don't quite remember exactly what I thought or did, but I got up, still not quite sure at what had taken place. Slowly, a bit gingerly at first, I walk with my mat towards the door. If there was silence before, well, people are amazed at what had taken place. Can you imagine my friends? They are still up there, hanging down through the hole in the roof, goggle-eyed, gawping at what had just taken place. And as I get to the door, people making way for me, I turn and look at Jesus. Have I just met? I'm guessing you find this hard to believe. But I thought my greatest need was to be healed. To be able to walk. To not be paralyzed. But no. It turns out my greatest need was to have my sins forgiven. I met the Son of Man. The Son of God, because who else could do these things? Now I am truly healed. Let's pray.